Welcome to Founders Focus, a podcast made for founders by founders. I'm Scott Case, CEO and co-founder of Upside, and I created Founders Focus to help share free resources and actionable advice. Together, we're building a community for business leaders, entrepreneurs, and founders to come together to tackle today's challenges. This podcast is powered by my awesome team at Upside. Please visit foundersfocus.com to join the live video sessions or to catch up on past topics. We are joined today by the founder and CEO of Shift, and he's the best-selling author, Joe Meklinski. And he's a fantastic entrepreneur in his own right, and he's been working with other small companies and big companies throughout his career. And he was reminding me earlier that we met because Joe sent books to lots of people, including the entire, all of Congress, must have been 2010 or 11. And he's been trying to make a big difference in kind of economic well-being, particularly small businesses for that time. So with that, Joe, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Scott, and to your team for providing a little bit of space in a container. I know that this was kind of an experiment when you guys first started, but it seems like, you know, not just being quarantined and not just the recent happenings, that, you know, community is more important than ever at this point. So really, no pun intended, hats off to you and your team for doing this. Brief background on me. I grew up in Baltimore. I grew up in East Baltimore, most notably for where they shot The Wire. I got a chance to see sort of front lines to, you know, what, you know, kind of not having economic freedom and power look like, just to kind of connect the dots to what you said earlier. And, you know, through a lot of interesting stories and a lot of people giving me a helping hand, was able to get into a good school and became an entrepreneur really early on in my life. And, you know, my first couple businesses, I've said often, probably weren't the kind that you read in business books, and certainly aren't ones that make my parents proud all of the time. But, you know, the idea of hustle and the idea of adding value and the idea, frankly, of being creative and kind of, you know, at some level, co-piloting your own destiny was extraordinarily intriguing to me. The past 20 years has all been really around helping prepare organizations for the future and to really, you know, provide a little bit of space for just different values in business. You know, for so long, we've been given these values of profit first or sort of productivity or all these other sort of notions about what business is really for. And for me, you know, I've just had the opportunity, great opportunity to, you know, not only be an investor in, you know, more than 30 companies now at this point, just as a person, you know, who cares about, you know, giving that chance to someone else, but also just the whole full cycle of businesses as they're thinking about assembling and organizing and delivering value to the marketplace. So that's really what we've been up to.
That's awesome. Thanks, Joe. So I'm going to start off with, you know, super easy questions, because that's the ones that we always like to get as entrepreneurs. So the pandemic has sort of created this great reset at this point. And yet we're still carrying around a lot of racial injustice and police brutality. And it looks like it's going to propagate itself into the future, even to post-pandemic. And yet there's a set of leadership strategies that, some of which worked before and some of which may still apply, but we're also going to need to invent new ones. What do you think, based on all the years you've worked with from a leadership standpoint, what stuff is going to stick and what are the things that we're going to need to reinvent or carry forward in a new way?
So it's a pretty big question to start out here. So much for starting easy. I think all of this is leadership. This has all been a call and an invitation, particularly in the recent happenings with George Floyd and frankly, way too many others at this point. And, you know, I think part of leadership gets misconstrued so much. And look, hardly do I have all the answers, but one of the things I love seeing and I really get inspired by seeing is that when leaderships can just own the truth. And part of running a business or part of leading a team or part of just experiencing this moment right now is, you know, owning a truth means, you know, maybe starting with the three most powerful words that anybody can say, which is, I don't know. And I think as entrepreneurs, it's really our opportunity to explore the unknown, to chart the unknown, to do those things. But I also feel like it's not a value of leadership that was often, it certainly wasn't incentivized in school to say, I don't know. It certainly wasn't incentivized in boardrooms to say I don't know. And I think it's one of these, you know, Brené Brown certainly has made her career on this notion of vulnerability, but I do think this is a moment of true vulnerability. So moving forward, you know, I think one of the other things that we're seeing, you know, organizations really need is, you know, your ability to build acuity as a competency. Acuity just around awareness, you know, not just on what's happening in your business, but frankly, what's happening in the world. Because if you can really hold more than one thought in your head, maybe two, maybe three, maybe four, even if they're disjointed, you know, that to me is the opportunity that entrepreneurs have, which is now to bundle together a different stakeholder map and really what would make sense to those stakeholders moving forward. So not, you know, not exactly the same way that we would normally think of businesses, which is my shareholders or, you know, my clients. It's like, no, there's your community. And again, conscious capitalism has done a great job mapping this out, but it should be your employees and the community and your clients and your shareholders and as many stakeholders as you can find. To me, that's the opportunity moving forward, is that we draw a bigger circle of concern for each other.
Yeah, the notion of I don't know is such a powerful thought. And I think especially entrepreneurs and founders and CEOs, we are often looked to have the answers. And I have found in certainly in this last stint at Upside that I find myself saying, I don't know a lot, but I often follow that up with, but we together are going to go find out. Right? There's this notion that it's not just on me to go find out the answers. Like the reason we assemble a team, and to your point about whether it's stakeholders or others, is that, you know, we're all getting after this together in that way. And it's not easy, but it's easier to know that it's okay to say, I don't know, but we're going to figure it out together. It creates all kinds of opportunity. It also engages people in being part of the solution, which, man, I don't have a monopoly on ideas at all. It's nice to have other people's brains who are often smarter or closer to the problem, et cetera. I'm curious, do you have an example of either a client or a company or a leader that you've observed really kind of demonstrate that stakeholder circle, you know, really well, where they've sort of defined it and they've actually not just said we do that, but actually do it?
Yeah, you bet. I mean, so I'm going to pull in the thread, though, of that co-piloting piece, because I do also think one of the things from a leadership point of view right now, this is an awakening of agency that people are getting, that we've been outsourcing bad ideas, old ideas from, you know, generations before us, or, you know, even think about healthcare, right? I mean, we outsource our own immune system to a doctor, to an insurance company, to other providers who, again, all have good intent. In this moment, I do think this moment of co-piloting, as you say, is less about just, you know, I need more help. It's to me, one of the emergent values moving forward is that organizations will continue to decentralize what they're doing. We're working right now with several really big companies. One company right now, 40,000 employees. We've just launched another survey about, you know, what do they want to do now that they've been working from home? And, you know, this is like taking the organization from like a triangle traditional org structure right now to how do we think about this more of like a circle or an orb or a sphere where, again, we can really decentralize the organization's decision making. And, you know, I would say, you know, this particular organization started out with a very old school, top down authoritative regime, if you will, of how they led the company. And, you know, through a new CEO's vision, frankly, he's a younger guy and, you know, he's in his 40s running a 40,000 person company right now. And he's basically one piece at a time grabbing all these old ideas and all these old notions. And if it doesn't pass muster, then it gets killed. And that's more of a turnaround situation. And I think, you know, during a turnaround or during a pivot, you know, a lot of times that's the hardest thing to do is to kill a bad idea. And you know, it's not easy to do because it you know, there's a second or third ordering of effects of potentially jobs or frankly just, you know, some cost bias that really, you know, kind of takes over. So yeah,
it's one of my co-founders, John, often says it's one thing to have a strategy of what you're going to do, but it's equally important to decide what you're not going to do. Right? What are you going to stop doing?
whether it's a pivot or a turnaround, or even if it's just within the scope of your own business, and saying regularly, do I have to be doing all the things that I'm doing? Or is there an opportunity for me to create capacity by stopping doing some things? So you've put together a guide at Shift for leading through crisis. And I'd love to hear a little bit about how you kind of what it is, how you've developed it, and if you've seen any applications of it that you're particularly, you know, inspired by.
So look, I mean, this is first and foremost was a selfish act of trying to get my head on straight. You know, March, we saw this happening in our business probably as early as January. We had some exposure to companies that were in Asia. So supply chain was becoming an issue. We also have a large part of our business in healthcare. And so we were starting to also sort of see the rumblings of this early. And, you know, look, I will be the first to say I'm a bit of a prepper, an optimist, but a prepper when it comes to these things of being a little bit more paranoid. And so, look, you know, a broken clock is right a couple times a day. And in this instance, when March hit and it really became evident that the value proposition of every business was about to get retooled because behaviors of people were going to change massively on maybe a scale we've never seen before. You know, to me, it was like almost our opportunity to, you know, first and foremost, find a little bit of stable ground on what we thought was happening. And, you know, for me, you know, writing or teaching, you know, there's a great quote, we teach what we need to learn and we create what we need to heal. And so for me, this was first and foremost, like I wanted to learn, well, what the heck are we going to do in this pandemic, in this crisis? And so, you know, I'm not a solo guy. We've got 30 folks at Shift who do just amazing work with our clients. And so we sort of collaborated and we said, all right, well, let's stand up just 1 week at a time. Like what would be most important this week? Like as we're sort of all using this sort of week cadence. And it almost took me back to the roots of like being in a startup again. Right? You sort of run these agile sprints and you say to yourself, gosh, you know, you look back on the horizon, you can see how far you've come. So when you ask me like what's in the actual document, I'd have to go through and double click a bunch of times because it's been this living mosaic of thought really and feelings about how we're either A, processing this change and this moment, or there's a lot of great resources in there of how we're helping to assist our clients. And so you're going to see things in there like, gosh, when I think about working from home, what's the right cadence of the week I should set up with my team? And so we're not suggesting we've got, you know, the only answer, but we have been doing this work for a while. And, you know, after a while you start to notice some patterns and recognize those things. And that's a lot of the things that we put in that document.
Have you seen anybody using elements of that in their business that you've found to be, again, intriguing or, you know, observations that said, yeah, they applied it in this way and this is kind of the benefits they got from it, whether it's your own business or others?
Yeah, there's a company right now in DC who I just got off the phone with right before we started today. And, you know, a couple of things. One, you know, if you're a larger organization, you're listening to this, we did a work from home survey that was free. So sort of like what you've been doing, which is we're just giving stuff away right now to try to be of service and support. And, you know, he took the survey to, you know, had a team of about 50 folks. They took the survey, they got it. And, you know, right now they're going through the process of, you know, there's an exercise embedded in the Leading Through Crisis workbook, you know, around what was true before COVID-19 and what are the assumptions now? And one of the things that's kind of exciting is, you know, the founder is like reimagining everything, the whole kit and caboodle, the whole vision, the whole strategy. I've known this guy for 5 years and I've never seen him so inspired. And it was really the tipping point for him was, you know, I wrote an article about meetings and Zooming, just like we're doing today, right? You know, so we went from, you know, sitting in a boardroom with a really kind of boring setting and scene to now we're in everybody's homes, right? You know, you're sitting with a hat on backwards. I'm in shorts about to go, you know, to the beach here in a little bit. Like we're now bringing our full self to the office, number one. Number two, there is no teacher sitting in front of the room. Like you're not looking up anymore, right? You're not waiting for the sage on the stage to give you some pearl of wisdom. We're all equal, at least the real estate on the Zoom screen. And so, you know, what are the things now that will emerge because of this? And he, you know, at this point, I would say, he's in the early stages of making a pretty big pivot. And, you know, these guys do, you know, multi eight figures a year. And it's going to be really interesting to see how it unfolds.
Yeah, it's there's something energizing about making it through a crisis. I think the thing for me on lots of dimensions right now is the kind of the mortality element. I can deal with the money part and the challenges that come with that, and the challenges of scraping by and not knowing if you're going to make payroll. That's just part of the game that we play as entrepreneurs. But you've got four H's. I don't know if you think of it that way, but that was what struck me, that you believe every leader should practice. And I'd love for you to share what the four are and then unpack each one of them in your own words, so that we can just kind of learn to how to incorporate them into our leadership style.
Yeah, you bet. So I'll first say this is all from my dad. I've been basically selling his teachings for the last 20 years in our work. And, the first one is, and I'll run through all four here. So it's honesty, hope, harmonize and humanize. And, the honesty piece here, I will just say, most guys specifically, just to kind of jump down this rabbit hole, have a hard time with like being vulnerable and sort of, again, like we said before, saying, I don't know. And particularly when you've been handed a bit of a terminal diagnosis, which is what we all got. We all got a terminal diagnosis that, my dad has a saying, forever is a long time and nothing lasts forever. Right. And so as we think about building an organization, and then we think, to your point, our own health and safety, our own fundamental well-being, this to me was sort of again, a call to arms first and foremost to say, how can you communicate a frequency of truth that your people will hear? Because I do believe we all have a bullshit meter. We don't need to be told it's okay when the ship is sinking. And so people, I think, want to hear that maybe Santa Claus isn't real, right? And I think that's sort of the moment of truth that you can then form a team. Like, to your point, it's our bubble got bursted, right? Of all this assumption, expectation. I mean, nobody on January 1st, 2020 thought anything like this was going to happen. Maybe you did, Scott, but I didn't. And, now that we're here, I think the honesty piece is you could just stay here for like the next hour on, how you're feeling and how you're thinking and what you're most concerned about and what's keeping you up at night and how you're getting out of bed in the morning. So that's the first one. But the second one is that, look, if we stay in honesty land in this moment where, you're going to dwell, there's going to be despair. And entrepreneurs, we are creators. We are explorers of a better truth. Like, this is actually your moment. I remember thinking in 2001, I missed the dot-com thing. Gosh darn it, I was just out of school and I didn't get a chance to go to the Valley. Or in 2008, I was like, I'm going to get ready for this one. Well, guess what? You can get ready for this one. Like, this one? Those others were dress rehearsals for what I believe is about to happen here for us. And so, from a hope perspective, one of the things that, science, and I've written a lot about the neuroscience of why we make decisions, hope is a really interesting thing. You're looking to help people see a clearing. Like when the waters are rough, right? You can't almost see through the water, and you're trying to get the dust or the water to settle enough so that people can look back on the horizon and see what's the progress that we've made. Because right now, this whole game, in my opinion, is about tiny momentum, building tiny momentum each and every week so that your team can see progress, not perfect, but progress. The next two are really kind of sort of sit between each other in the sense that, this is our ideology that we're putting out here for sure, which is, we believe that there's just a lot more room for kind of a heart and a gut thinking mechanism in business. And you don't need to be a neuroscientist to know this. Heart is about, how we interact in our relationship with each other. And sort of we've got a gut brain that we know too, which is you've got 100 million neurons in your gut. When you feel like you're about to make a good decision or a bad decision, this is not butterflies in your tummy. This is cortisol or serotonin. And these are real things. And what we know to be true is that there's this thing called the helper's high, where when Scott, you and I exchange a random act of kindness, our serotonin goes up. And when our serotonin goes up, it means we're actually thinking clearer. We can think not only for today, but we can also think for tomorrow. But when I'm nervous, my cortisol comes up, and then all of a sudden I become more blinded. I have tunnel vision. And this is where our biases run high, our blind spots run high, and frankly, we find ourselves in double binds. And double binds, every entrepreneur knows, a rock and a hard place. The things I have to do versus the things I get to do, right? And or have to do versus need to do. And so part of the harmonizing and humanizing this moment is just be a human being. And it's like harmony is about playing a chord, all of the music. And so as you think about sort of changing or pivoting your business, just remember at the end of the day, these are people that work with you. And asking people how they're doing is one thing, but asking people how they're feeling is a whole nother. So that was a quick bit, but just to make that fit into our little conversation here.
So honesty, hope, humanize, harmonize.
Yeah.
It's a good structure. So let's talk about, I guess, a little bit about the future, right? So there's no book you can read that says, oh, read this book and it'll tell you how to deal with a post-pandemic world. It's new territory for all of us, just like most crises are. If you take it from, all right, we're in this moment right now, there's an uncertain duration of how long these, you know, the intensity is going to last and how long the restrictions might play off. Advance a year, 2 years, what are the kinds of things that leaders should be focused on now to be in the best place that they could be in a year or 2 years? What are the things that set things up for the future?
It's a great question. I think, you know, no one's going to be able to necessarily predict the future. I think there are certainly patterns and cycles that have a tendency to repeat, and we might be in one of those right now. And as you think about the way that people are just changing the way that they live, you know, like how many people here have eaten out a lot less, and, you know, you might keep that going, right? Or, you know, business travel. I mean, you know better than anyone. Like,
you had to bring that up, huh? Thanks.
Well, I mean, but it doesn't mean that every industry is not going to be up for grabs. That's to me the opportunity, which is it doesn't even matter what industry you're in. It's starting with the mindset that behaviors are going to change, which means everyone's value proposition has to too. And I think that's, you know, frankly, might be the single biggest opportunity entrepreneurs have ever had, which is we've just leveled the playing field to some degree, which is now you get a chance to reimagine what it is moving forward. So I think, look, a lot of this stuff people know. You should be spending time, I think, every day as an entrepreneur in the morning, meditate, you know, pray, go swim, go do whatever you need to do. And then your job is to sit and think in solitude and to get this out of you, whether it's a manifesto or whether it's a vision or whether it's, these are just loose notions and thoughts. Like, it's a spaghetti throwing moment to throw things up against the wall, to test them with your team, to test them with your clients. But to me, the seeds that get planted in this moment, I saw a great a meme on Facebook, which I know we're all seeing a lot of these, but it's like during the civil rights movement, you know, it wasn't very popular to be part of that movement at first. And when people look back on time, like, you know, I think there's probably a lot of people that wish that they had played more of a part in progress. And so for right now, I think it's hard not to say that part of the seeds that get planted today should be around the conversations that are most relevant for people now. So the way that you guys are holding space here today, the way that you're creating a container for conversations, the way that you're not averting a complication or a little sticky wicket of to talk about, you know, the inequality of what's happening in the world right now. I think people are going to have a very long memory. And I think when it comes down to it in 3 years, people are going to have a sense of who doubled down on humanity right now. And I think, you know, you guys are being a really great, you know, model for folks to follow. So I, you know, again, it's a little bit more abstract than a go do, but I just think that the human intuition right now is a pretty powerful tool to leverage, and you'll know it in your heart if it's sort of the thing that you want your business to really stand for. And then the last thing I would say is if you have kids, like, just imagine for a second when they have kids, how do you want them to tell this moment in history about what their parents really did and how they stood up for, again, humanity? And I think that, you know, those are just governing forces of the way to think about this. right now.
You bring up a really good exercise, which is, I'm sure it's got a name, but it's not coming to me at the moment. But there's something about imagining yourself in the future, as you just did, imagining yourself in the future with, you know, your children's children talking about what, you know, telling the stories, or just imagining your business a year from now and looking back, what did you do? How did you provide? How did you create value for others? Where did you go above and beyond for your clients or your customers in some way that was either unexpected or was, you know, just authentic about, hey, we're all dealing with this. And it was to the anti-pattern, very early on, it seemed like every retailer that I had ever given an email address to felt that it was incredibly important to send me a special email about how they were handling the pandemic. And I was like, I don't give a shit how you're handling the pandemic. Like, what is it? Why is this all about you? Right? Why aren't you reaching out to see how I'm doing or what I might need? And so I think as business leaders, we need to really check ourselves and make sure that we're truly setting ourselves and our businesses up for the future by how we behave now and how we think about our relationships now with everyone, all of our stakeholders, as you brought up earlier. It's a tricky thing to do, but if you're tuned into it, it becomes a lot easier.
Well, in tuning into it, we joked about, you know, taking a self-awareness pill. I mean, this is really to understand that in times of stress, your biases run hard and high. And if you really haven't studied what a bias is, I would say, you know, Amos Tversky, Danny Kahneman wrote a great, Danny Kahneman wrote the book Thinking Fast and Slow, but those two won the Nobel Peace Prize in 2002 around the irrationality of human beings against economic theory. Like we've been trading on that we will maximize our own utility, and that's just not the way it works. And so once you start to understand that I have a positive bias, right? I have a tendency to believe I can do anything, which has got me in hot water more than once. I have a bias that the second you tell me to do something, I literally go it's just the reflex to do the other way. And if you can really understand what your biases are, like it's got a political twinge to it for sure, but we all have them. It's basically a shortcut in your brain, you know, of how you think. You know, the more that we learn about the way that we see reality, all reality seems to be a bit virtual, right? And so as we're thinking about what you are seeing, it is likely to do with how you're feeling in this moment. And so to me, fundamental well-being is not a conversation we typically have in a business setting, right? It's not my lane to tell people, you know, you should be taking vitamin C, D and a little echinacea right now, or how are you sleeping? Or, you know, how are you emotionally handling this? You know, are you really in a position again of obligation or choice? You know, I come back to that a lot because I think it's important.
I think more than ever as a leader, you brought up, we're seeing into each other's lives, right? We're seeing into each other's homes. And there is something about having that emotional conversation, having that, how are you feeling right now about the situation that you're in, and using that space to kind of break down some of the barriers of the corporation, if you will, to realize that a company is just a collection of human beings trying to accomplish something together. So with that in mind, I think there's a group of businesses that will fail. There's businesses that are going to just make it through, and then there's some that are going to thrive. Are there one or two things that you think separate out the businesses that can't make it, the businesses that barely make it, and the businesses that come out of this roaring?
Yeah, I wrote a small piece on this talking about navigating change, and it's in the document that everybody will have access to. And I riffed on Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who talked about the five stages of grief. And, you know, grief is not a bad thing. It, you know, traveling down the path of surprise and denial and anger, you know, and then real sadness and loss. Like I would say entrepreneurs have a tendency to skip over these. And I would not. Like, this is actually a moment to feel all of the feelings. You know, this is a moment where I did a webinar, one of the webinars that we did that, again, is sitting in that document. You know, it's like, grab a pillow and scream into it for 2 minutes. Like, get it all out. Get all of this sort of emotional energy out. Because I think organizations that sort of skip over this step or don't allow themselves and their team to feel things in this moment, you know, repressing or suppressing this is going to be bad news bears. I think it's not going to be part of what an organization of the future looks like. I think, you know, one of the things that will definitely, and again, I'm not the only one saying this, is, you know, companies that have more of a mission and a values focus, where they're not primarily focused on profit, that they can hold more than one thought in their head at once, which is, you know, it's about, can I create an environment where it's good for me, it's good for Scott, it's good for both Scott and us, and then watch this, one more, it's good for the greater good. Companies that are able to hold those four notions without real, you know, debate, it becomes almost a competency that when they make a decision, it is a do no harm decision. You know, and look, and I think also organizations who, you know, have the ability to be humble enough to say they don't know and that they're going to figure shit out. And, you know, look, it's the success paradox is you get there because you know what you're doing. And then all of a sudden you get knocked off because you don't know what you're doing, but you've been running the same play from yesterday. And I think if you ever wanted to be creative in business, this is it. This is your moment. You've prepared for this your whole life. It's not going to be easy. We can see this. But I'm pretty excited about where the possibilities sit for sure.
It's awesome. It is one of those moments where, you know, the those hinge moments in history where both as we think about the pandemic, as we think about dealing with police brutality or racial inequality, we can either really use this moment as momentum to transform, or we can just let it pass us by. And I think the best entrepreneurs of us tend to lean into these opportunities and these crises. I also want to point out something else that you referenced, I think is really important. And I have a strong belief around it, which is, I believe in abundance versus scarcity. I think there's no reason why we can't all win. I just don't see very many markets that are truly winner take all, or there's winners. In order for someone else to win, someone else has to lose. It happens, but it's, you know, even some of the greatest rivalries, business rivalries to look at, you know, Coke and Pepsi are just fine. Right? Like there's plenty of opportunity to build really nice businesses and you don't have to think in a scarcity mode, which changes your behavior. So with that, we're going to run out of time here in a minute.
Can I pull a real quick?
Yeah, do it.
Quick. So remember, Darwin wrote Origins of Species. Okay. If you've not read this book, you don't need to. In that book, he references survival of the fittest twice, which is when we think about natural selection as the only component really that people attach to it, because then Adam Smith wrote this whole narrative about the way we should think about commerce, mercantilism, and frankly, capitalism, which was a win-lose, which is I get to the cheese first. People don't realize that in that same book, he talked about love, compassion, cooperation 95 times. So something to think about. Like, I mean, maybe we got it a little wrong. That's all. Anyway, sorry.
Well, I think it is about cooperation more than it is competition. And frankly, the best things that have happened to humanity have been because we work together to accomplish a thing as opposed to competitively against each other to accomplish a thing.
Right.
So you get one idea to leave everybody with, one thing that, you know, you think people should remember or act on or do as a result of your decades of experiences and I'm sure mistakes along the way. What should our founders think about?
This is a we game, not a me game. This whole exercise right now, to your exact point, is not about telling you about my problems. It's about telling us about our problems. And I think if we other each other right now, like if we other an us versus them, we see this as distinct and different from any of us and all of us in this moment, we're going to miss this crisis and this opportunity to really change. We'll go back to the old ideas. But if we do think about this as brothers and sisters, that we all legitimately came from the same fucking place, that we all originated and that our DNA is so closely connected that we can't look past the way we see each other. I think that's going to be a severely limiting, a limiting thing, and not something I know you're going to stand for or I'm going to stand for while I'm here. So anyway.
Not at all. Well, Joe, thank you very much for being here today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Founders Focus. What did you think? You got any feedback for us? Got a topic that you'd like us to discuss? Or maybe a future co-host? We'd love to hear from you. Just hit me up on LinkedIn at tscottcase and join us at foundersfocus.com to stay up to date with the latest episodes and join us live every week at our Founders Focus sessions. Hope to see you there.